Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Pod Network Entertainment.
Pleasures I've had of working so long at BPI is to talk to people who came before me who tell me about their clients who started very small and were just given a break by a bank. We have clients who are just 100% loyal to BPI because 50 years ago, 60 years ago, someone from BPI gave them the break. A bank wants people to succeed. It doesn't have to be BPI, but that's the role of a bank. The role of a bank is to channel excess savings from one part of society to the part of society that wants to take risk to build businesses.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you are watching or listening to my podcast from here in the Philippines or from all over the world. Welcome to my self-titled podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In this podcast, I'd like to interview the country's trailblazing and pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those same success secrets for ourselves? We'll also be talking about how they've innovated and evolved their businesses and their takes on emerging businesses in the near future. Now, if there's a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast, please let me know. I would love to hear from them as well. You can also catch us on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, and of course, also on YouTube. Tonight, I am very honored to have my next guest on the show. And incidentally, he was also the past president of my Rotary Club, the Rotary Club of Makati West. He currently is the executive director, president, and CEO of the Bank of the Philippine Islands, better known as BPI. Now, under his leadership, BPI bagged multiple awards from prestigious regional publication Finance Asia, getting, number one, the Gold Award for Best Financial Company, and silver for best overall company in the Philippines. And their president also got gold as the best CEO in the market. BPI and their president are among the winners in Finance Asia's best management companies in 2023. Very happy to have here the show, Jose Teodoro TG Limcauco of BPI. TG, thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Thanks very much, RJ. Glad to be here. And a nice morning, nice evening, nice afternoon to all the people who come into your podcast. I've listened to a couple of your podcasts, and I must say I'm truly humbled to be invited.
Well, I'm really honored to have you here as well, TG. And I was wondering, you know, I look at your name, Jose Teodoro, but your nickname is TG. How did that come about? I'm just wondering as I was looking at it.
Long story. The diminutive of Teodoro, I'm named after my grandfather, Teodoro Calao. And the diminutive is Teji. And so obviously, as you grow up, your name gets bastardized. So Teji eventually became TG, which I put in just into two letters so that people find it easier. That's the official story.
That's the Pinoy way of putting a name together. That's the etymology of the nickname, I guess, no?
That's correct.
TG, you know, very interesting story about BPI. You know, I've had the privilege of hosting for BPI when they did a relaunch. I've also spoken in several events. I've had a chance to speak to many of the executives. And what I'm truly amazed by is that there's this true spirit of innovation that I see from the people over there. And they're very excited about the future of the company. And when you look at it, you know, you step back, it's a 170-year-old banking institution. But right now, in many articles that have come out about BPI, you talk about that what is driving the growth of BPI is that it's the spirit of innovation and reinvention. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to reconcile the idea that a very old, tenured bank is leading the charge for reinvention and innovation. Help me better understand, how did you have to recreate that sort of innovation culture there in BPI?
I think innovation comes from people understanding their mission, RJ. And you talk about BPI being a very old and storied bank. We are 172 years this year. By August, we'll be 173 years. And a bank, or any institution for that matter, does not survive unless you're constantly reinventing yourself. Now we all know banking is like one of the oldest, if not, you know, one of the oldest industries or professions in the world. But the reality is, as we at BPI like to talk about it, banking is really a commodity, right? And to differentiate yourself, you've got to come up with different services. You've got to level up the way you treat customers. You've got to figure out ways to approach customers. And what we've done at the bank is basically given people the leeway to run their business, to be innovative. And we don't penalize failures. We encourage people to come up with ideas. We try to have a culture where people are throwing ideas amongst ourselves and testing. And luckily at BPI, you know, we are a very well-run bank. I like to think so. We have a dominant market share. And so we have this ability to experiment, as I would say, and try new ideas. And that's what we've encouraged the businesses to do. So we are going out with new products. We are going out with new ways to treat customers. Our digital platforms, we're trying new things all the time. And we're trying to streamline our process so that we can come up with new ideas faster, right? And decide that whether it works or not. And I think that's the secret of innovation. You've got to be willing to try and willing to kill quickly. If it's not working, you've got to be willing to accept right away that it's not working.
It's so strange for me to be hearing that from the mouth of a BPI president or a banking president, because you sound like I'm talking to somebody who's heading a startup right now as I talk to you, because that's exactly mm-hmm. what they think, right? You know, develop your MVP, your minimum viable product, test it out. You expect failure from that product, but because of that failure, that's the only time that you can actually develop the product to make sure that it's the best product out in the market.
Oh, we're a little bit hamstrung, RJ, because, you know, we're an institution with 11 million customers. I would say with about 20% of the deposits in the industry are with us. And we have to be very careful when we experiment, because you can't have a catastrophic failure, which makes people lose confidence. BPI has lasted for 172 years because people trust the name, people trust the institution. And paramount in the way we operate is to ensure that the trust is always kept. And so when we do have problems, our mantra is to just face the problem right away and be very upfront and make sure that we fix it right away. You cannot leave people hanging and doubting your capability. And I think that's the way we operate. And in a way, that's what differentiates us from a startup, because a startup can be really aggressive. A bank like BPI has got to be very measured in the way we operate, because we cannot lose that trust.
I got that. But I also like the idea that you also give, I remember when I think I posted the 170th anniversary of BPI, that you wanted to actually transform, when you talk about the leeway, it's like when you would transform the mentality of the people in the bank, that we are not people just doing transactions. We're actually people mm-hmm. who are here to give advisory services. Don't think of it as a bank. Think of it as your financial investment partner. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think banking has two missions, right? The first mission is to make sure that people's wealth is preserved, and that the economy moves around the banking industry, so that we take excess savings and we channel it to new investments where people want to be entrepreneurs and invest this excess savings. The second one, which is more, I think, personal to many BPIers, is that we truly want to help people's lives improve. In fact, we call our mission is, you know, we want to build a better Philippines, one community, one family at a time. And we talk about making people's dreams come true. We talk about helping people achieve their first home or their first car. And you can only do that not only through, I guess, the deposit accounts, but you need to provide sound financial advice and show them the way to get it. And that's the way we are operating. And that's the way we want to transform branches. We don't want a branch to be where you just put your money in. We want a branch to be where people can go in and talk to our officers and our advisors about what they want in life, whether it's to borrow money for their home or for their car, or they want to invest and save up because for their children's education, or even if they're worried about protection, about health insurance or life insurance or home insurance, we have the solutions at the bank. And that's the role of a bank, is to advise people on how to improve their lives. And if you really believe that as we do, then the whole banking philosophy changes, mm-hmm. right? It's not just about, oh, we take deposits and we pay you interest or we give you a loan. No, it's really about building a better life for our clients. And that's why we don't call our branches anymore. We call them stores, because that's where you actually go in to learn about new products. That's the idea.
Well, so I'm no longer speaking to my, I mean, to just to help people better understand, I'm no longer speaking to my teller. I'm speaking to my advisor who's giving great
Correct.
Financial advice.
Correct. And everyone in the branch is empowered to do that. We have a tool, an online learning tool, where every person in the bank actually has access to it to learn about our products. So even the people in the branches are mandated to go through this training, and they earn points and they move up and level up. And that way, even a teller should be able to help you or point you in the right direction.
Got that. Now, I want to look now at the priorities really of the 173-year-old bank. And one of the biggest priorities which you've outlined, which I think is, which we're all benefiting from, is the idea of you want to become the undisputed leader in digital banking. And I know that that's a very challenging but very aspirational goal. Like for all of us over here, my favorite app is I don't think you can see it, but it's ready for me, my BPI app. It's been very helpful for me to do business, pandemic and beyond. But help us better understand, when you say you want to be the undisputed leader in digital banking, what exactly is BPI trying to do?
Well, I think you have to take a look at everything holistically. Obviously, digitalization is a very important part of our strategy, because digitalization allows us to acquire and to serve, I guess, multitudes of customers. Before the digitalization process, we probably had 6 or 7 million customers. Today, we have 11 million. We've grown 3 million customers in the last year alone. So digitalization allows you to acquire more customers, to serve them better at a lower cost, right? And so digitalization is key to our strategy. And being the best digital bank, to me, means that we are the most trusted, that our platforms are the most reliable, that they're the most fun to use. And I would use the word fun rather than easy. Right. And that goes for the retail side, the ordinary customer like you and me. But we also want the best platforms for our corporate clients, where they can do cash management, where they can draw their loans online, where they can collect their bills, send out statements from within our app. So that is the whole ambition. But that's very linked to what we want to do, which is more important, which is financial inclusion. Like, we want to get more and more Filipinos as part of the banking system. We want more and more Filipinos to be banked, to be able to save, to be able to borrow, to be able to access the banking system for insurance, for protection. And contrary to popular thinking, you don't need to be rich or extremely wealthy to take advantage of the bank. For example, we have very small insurance tickets, daily protection, so that you're protected in case of an accident or in case you get sick. We will pay you so that your family can continue to draw on your salary while you are sick, especially for those who work on a daily wage. And it's very cheap and very affordable, I would say. And those are the kinds of solutions that we're willing to offer just to build up financial inclusion. For us, it's also important to understand how people work in the financial system. Because if you understand how people spend and how people earn, so I'm not even saying how people save, RJ, it's how they earn and how they spend, then they are bankable. You can give them loans, right? You can give them the ability to get a student loan so that they can send their kids to school, they can send their kids to college. And it changes a family completely if children get educated, It changes a family's dynamics if they have access to more reliable transportation, so whether it's a motorcycle loan or a car loan. It changes a family when they live in their own home. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people into the financial system. And more importantly, we're also very focused on helping small businesses. We have a whole practice on SME lending, as well as what we call semi-lending, self-employed micro-entrepreneurs. We have a subsidiary called BPI Direct Banco, which focuses on those self-employed micro-entrepreneurs, primarily, let's say, market vendors, right? So we lend them capital so that they can build up inventory, sell it, increase their market share, increase their sales. And to us, that's very important because it just builds wealth. And as we like to say, you know, if everyone is better off, then the country's better off and industry is better off.
And when I look at it, I just wanted to take a step back and say that just so people better understand the idea that digitalization leads to financial inclusion. Is that correct? Would I be correct in saying that?
Yes. I would say digitalization is the fastest way to ensure financial inclusion because it allows you to acquire, it allows you to onboard, it allows you to serve at the lowest cost.
Got that. And then how do you, I understand like for myself, I understand perfectly well that how, I mean, this app has been revolutionary for me. The BPI app has been very great for me. But what are the other, I guess, to help people better understand, what are the other manifestations of digitalization for the bank that they can, that people can appreciate when it comes to helping make the process more efficient in terms of a consumer?
I think many people, when particularly like I would even venture, RJ, like for you, the reason you use the BPI app is you want to be able to check your balances, to make payments to your usual billers, to transfer money to people you owe money or your friends, right? But I think the big revolutionary change will be when people actually use the digital app or digitalization to make micropayments. The BSP is very, very keen to get rid of currency, to get rid of the bills and the coins. And we can only do that through digitalization. And we've had success with people like GCash. But I think as you go further, you can use the BPI app to make your own micropayments direct from your account, right? And I think that's where we're headed, where many financial institutions will actually provide that service to clients. Make your payments directly, whether you're paying at the LRT or you're paying a taxi cab or you're paying for your coffee, these small payments, you do it through a digital process, whether it's an app, whether it's a tap card, where you don't have to whip out the coins and the paper bills anymore because, you know, that's very expensive for our government. It's unhygienic for many reasons, right? And so we're trying really as an industry to move towards digital payments all across, even for small payments, even for what traditionally would have been something you would whip out a peso bill or a coin for.
I get that. And one of the things I want to go back to as well is that your advocacy towards supporting MSMEs or micro, small, medium enterprises. The other day I had a chance to actually speak with Ok. I had a very long interview with him about the small segment business banking head, right? And if you don't mind, he gave some really great statistics as to, you know, people up to right now, they're very scared to approach banks to actually get a loan. Yeah. They're very scared. Like for myself, traditionally, you don't want to approach the bank because number one, ayaw mo makautang, and number two, you might not have the paperwork to get the utang. And number three is they're always worried about the idea of collateral to the bank. How does BPI think of this in this way that it's supporting the growth of MSMEs?
Well, I think everything you mentioned, collateral, paperwork, that's all part of what would have been traditional lending. And let's be very clear. If you have those traditional tools, it's easier to get a loan, right? But it's not impossible to get a loan if you don't have those traditional tools. There's so much data out there today that allows a financial institution, a bank like BPI, to make a judgment on whether we would like to lend a small entrepreneur some funds to build his business. So for example, we take a look at the way money flows in and out of your account. So even if, you know, even if you don't carry accounting books, the fact that you bank with us, right, and we can see how much money goes into your account and how much money goes out, gives us a good proxy of how good your business or how well your business is doing. We can take a look at your the bills you get from your utilities. It gives us a good sign if you pay your utility bills on time. So there are so many proxies that allow us to judge whether or not your business is successful and whether or not your business can sustain a loan. For example, if, let's say, you take credit card payments or you take QR code payments, if we see those payments coming in, it gives us a good proxy of what kind of business you have, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to keep books. We just need to see the flows. Collateral, especially, I get the concern about collateral for SMEs and MSMEs. And we're not, collateral is not a requirement. Collateral in true credit is your third way out only. It's not the first. We really look at the business. We look at the character of the person. Collateral is just something that nice to have, not necessary. And so we're trying to build a business that promotes MSMEs and working with the clients and providing them solutions that don't necessarily need collateral. It's really based on the kind of flows we see. And that's why we encourage our clients around our branches to bank with us. Because, you know, the banking relationship where we begin to see the flows into your account will serve as the basis for making a loan maybe 3-6 months down the road. So invest your time with us, and we'll invest funds with you going forward.
Now I have a better appreciation now of working together at BPI in building my account with them, because they see absolutely everything. More than my wife, they see absolutely everything when it comes to when it comes to my account. And another interesting thing about BPI for this year is finally it's the merger between BPI and Robinsons Bank, which gives you, I guess, more stores to handle here right now. And you know, as a leader, it's both very exciting, but also I guess it's also a challenge to merge two different banking entities coming in together and working this out. What kind of insights can you share with people also who will be going through the same sort of experience?
Well, I think a merger has always its benefits and always its issues, just like any marriage. I love Robinsons Bank. It's a small relative to BPI. I think they're only maybe 1/15th, 1/16th our size. But, you know, Robinsons Bank for the last 5 years, I think, was the fastest growing commercial bank. I mean, the management team at Robinsons Bank done a really good job. And the people are first rate. And they've got a number of products and innovations that I really, really like as we took a look at them. So we will keep those and we will bring them on to BPI. The other thing about Robinsons Bank is they've got quite a good network of different communities that BPI traditionally did not serve. So that one brings a whole new customer base on board. We're obviously excited about the fact that we get to work closely with the Robinsons Group, Robinsons and the Gokong Way Group, in terms of particularly, let's say, their stores. One of the initiatives we have at BPI that we just started last year was what we call agency banking. And the concept of agency banking at BPI is really to look for partners who can help us provide and service our clients and provide the products outside of the branch. So one of our biggest partners, obviously, today is the Robinsons Retail Group. You'll see at the Robinsons Retail stores the ability to onboard certain of our products. For example, you can open a deposit account already at the Robinsons Retail. And soon our partners will be able to take cash in and cash out, or, you know, what is known as deposit and withdrawal, but we call them cash in and cash out. And Robinsons is not only our partner. We have partners, for example, Prince in the Visayas is a partner. Sea Oil is a partner. And the idea here is both sides want the partnership, because cash is, you know, cash is troublesome. to handle. And therefore, this partnership allows one to offload cash and one to inbound cash. And so it's a great relationship, and co-marketing works. The identification of the brand together is very powerful. And it's something that I think will transform banking going forward. It's basically, we like to call it may BPI dito. We bring BPI to wherever you are. You don't have to come to us.
Got that. Very interesting. It's sort of like making banking truly mobile, meaning wherever you are.
In another sense, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I also wonder, one of the big things as to why you were able to create a great spirit of reinvention and innovation, because there's a certain culture that you're able to create in BPI. And of course, when you merge two different banks, there are differences in, I guess, the culture of the banks. How do you also manage this sort of, you know, differences as you put together the two banking systems and two banking cultures?
You know, a culture always evolves, RJ, right? Culture is always changing. And what you can have two different cultures, put them together, and eventually they will mold into one. What you don't want are cultures that conflict with each other. And they won't conflict if you are consistent about what your aspirations are, what your end goal is, right? And for us,
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When I looked at the core values of Robinson's, I was telling Boy, who's the CEO of Robinson's, who's now joined the senior team of BPI, right? The core values are so similar. We just use different words.
I see. Right?
And so the people are the same. They have the same values. We're aiming for the same thing. So in fact, I think in October or September, we had a big gathering where we brought all the Robinson's people together. And you could feel, as a BPI team that was there, you could feel that the values are so the same. And this was unknown to us when we first thought about the transaction. But for me, I guess that is also the reason of the success of Robinson's Bank for the last 5 years. You've got the same core values that are solid, that promote customer first, that promote financial inclusion. And so the objectives of both Robinson's and BPI and now together is one and the same, right? One and the same. So I don't see any clash in the cultures going forward. And we're extremely happy with the way we have come together. We came together officially on January 2nd, was our first day. And the feeling is so good, RJ. The feeling is so
fantastic. Good. Congratulations on your new marriage, TJ.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And another thing also that BPI is working on is to close the gap in funding leadership. Help us better appreciate how that looks like from your perspective.
Well, it's we always... You know, we always had the notion that we were very large in deposits, which we are. So I think we are number two in deposits today among the private banks. But we saw our cost of funding creeping up. And I think that's because banks are more competitive today. I think banks are more savvy in marketing, and it's a question of reach. And so for me, when we talked to the team about closing the gap in funding leadership, it's really about being more deliberate about the way we fund ourselves. It's about the way we attract deposits. It's very clear that we need to attract more corporate deposits. We need to be a leader on the corporate side, where we offer our corporate clients all the tools they need to manage their treasury. But also, we also want to be very dominant in the retail space, particularly as we move towards the lower segments. We are not shy about saying that our big audacious goal by the end of 2026 is to have 50 million customers. And that's 50. Many people say, wow, 15, that's a lot. It's actually 50. And that's going to be a real stretch. But the bank is geared for that. We're going to really try to do that because we believe the more people in the banking system, the better for this country. And BPI is equipped to provide that. Win 50 million by 2026, that's basically where we're saying we want to bank just over a third or close to a third of all Filipinos at BPI. And if my friends and the other large banks can achieve the same, then we would have banked close to 100% of the Filipinos, right? Then this country will be in very good shape.
I agree. And actually, as you were telling me this, when you wanted to bank more Filipinos, it actually ties in, I guess, to your last goal. And I think you would call it the ESG plus goal, because you want to have banking where you really bring the underserved and the unbanked into the system and to create sustainable banking, right? I often, you know, yes. When I look at you, TJ, it's more when I think of you, it's, you know, I recall Simon Sinek start with why, parang banking, but for what? What's your deeper why? Why you're doing banking? And again, I can feel that with you and the rest of the team, that's really where banking is. It's really to help those who are not banked enjoy the services of how banking can make them wealthier and more prosperous.
Well, because, you know, as I tell all my team, like, if you're getting up in the morning and your objective that morning is to make another loan or to get another deposit, it's not fun. That's not fun. But if you wake up every morning saying, today I will help a family get their first home, or today I will help a small business get their first loan that will allow them to get this large contract, right? Then at the end of the day, if you achieve that, you go home feeling great. You go home feeling fantastic, and you go home saying, I want to go back to work tomorrow. And so for me, that's the why, as Simon Sinek says. And we like, I personally say that we make dreams come true, right? Officially, our vision is to build a better Philippines, right? Me internally, it's I just want to make people's dreams come true. And when you talk about sustainable banking, ESG, it's really about two things. Being a responsible operator and being a responsible bank. So a responsible bank means you make the proper loans, you finance the proper projects. So in 2021, we came up with a policy that said we would not finance any more new greenfield coal projects. Right? Sure, the country needs energy. Sure, we have a lot of coal projects that are coal-fired plants that produce, you know, our power. And we need to keep those coal plants running for now. But we certainly don't believe, or we certainly believe that there are alternatives to generating new power plants. And so we want to encourage the industry to focus on renewable power. The other one is responsible operations. As an employer of close to 20,000 people working in over 800 communities, we need to be responsible to the people and the lives we touch. So we try to reduce our carbon footprint. We try to save energy. We definitely, I think, pay proper wages, and we treat our vendors and our customers properly. And I think that's the goal of being a sustainable bank, that you need to act responsibly at all times to all your stakeholders, not just your shareholder, not just your customers, but to all your stakeholders. And stakeholders means your employees first and foremost.
It's very interesting. When we're talking about ESG, we know that there's the general meaning of ESG in terms of environmentally sustainable goals, but there's an ESG plus E formula, which is unique, I guess, to BPI. Is that correct?
We like to say it's unique to us, but I'm sure everyone thinks about it. But the way we have framed it is that you have to be responsible to your environment, right, to society, and to governance. That's the ESG. And then the plus E means it's got to be economically viable, right? You just can't do it for environment's sake. And you can't do something just for society's sake, because it's got to be sustainable, which means it's got to be economically viable. Because if it's not economically viable, then whatever you do will peter out. You will stop because you cannot continue to fund it. So everything we do in terms of ESG, we have to measure also as part of, is it economically viable? What does it deliver to the company? What does it deliver to our shareholders? And is it something that we can continue to do for the long run? That's what E2 means, because it's got to be economically viable.
Most important of all, economically viable, I would think, for all of us doing business. Now,
you'd be surprised how many people do.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. I guess so. It's always a great sobering reminder for all of us doing business. Now, I want to go back right now to the idea of, you know, the number one priority of PPI is digitalization. And that brings in a lot of opportunities, but at the same time, a lot of, I would say, there are pain points along the way. And one of the larger pain points, I guess, that all the banks are feeling, and I'm sure that you've had had the pinch of it as well, is you know, protecting against cybercrime, which is a big thing here right now. And I guess I would appreciate if you could share with us a bit more about, you know, people don't, I guess, appreciate cybersecurity or cybercrime as much as maybe you can share with us what's happening in the industry right now that should raise alarm bells for us as consumers, and why we need to take a more, you know, proactive role in it.
I think all of us have had friends who have been victims of some scam by the sort. I think people still don't understand the importance of cybersecurity because they don't see it, right? You understand the importance of physical security. You know, you value the security guards, you value locking your house or locking your car, but people are very careless about locking their devices. Right? And I think first and foremost, cybersecurity is important to the institutions. I think banks have to take cybersecurity very seriously. At BPI, we spend close to over ₱1 billion a year just on cybersecurity alone. Our consultants, our software, our monitors, to make sure that we don't have infiltrators or hacks coming in. We run very tight policies as to what people can do on their BPI laptops. You know, everything is OTP, everything is locked down. We're required to change passwords so often that it's almost impossible to remember passwords. But I think people have to take it very seriously, not only as an institution, but only personally, right? People ask me, TG, what's the best way to ensure that I am cyber secure?
Yes.
And very simple rule, never share the following. Never share passwords, never share pins, never share OTPs. Right? Not even with your most trusted person.
Okay. I will make sure.
Because with artificial intelligence, voices can be mimicked. Mm-hmm. Right? So never share those things. The bank will never ask it verbally, will never ask for an OTP verbally. So just as soon as you are comfortable, you never share passwords, pins, or OTPs, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. Never click on links you don't know. Right? And I guess the last rule, if it's too good to be true, then it probably isn't.
That's right.
And I think that's what's important. Now, it's easy to say those things. And as an industry, we need to come together to make sure that people are educated. Right? So it's important first that the banking industry, and not only the banking industry, I think it's the banks, the private sector, the government, particularly the DICT, the Department of Justice, we all work together to promote cybersecurity. It means we need to share data. We need to cooperate with each other. We need to, you know, work with each other to prosecute the bad guys, right? So that's one side. And the other side is then we need to spend and make an effort to educate the public. Those simple rules I gave you, we should be spreading that in many, many ways, whether it's TikTok or podcasts like this or Facebook. People have to understand, just follow those simple rules and then they'll be safe. Because people, as human beings, our very natures, we're trusting. Right? We are trusting. We are social beings, so we are trusting. And these scam artists prey on that. They prey on that human weakness. And we need just to educate people. And that's why at BPI, we worked with GMA7. We came up with a whole program of advertising. At the BAP, I hope we are able to launch a public service awareness campaign as well to help that. We help train and work closely with the PNP and the Department of Justice to train people on investigation or prosecution. And then finally, you know, Congress is passing this anti-financial scam act bill, which we're extremely supportive. We want to criminalize people who prey on I guess the public, and make it a serious crime. Make it a crime to use someone else's account. Make it a crime for you to sell your account to someone, because you only sell your account when you're, so someone will only buy your account when they'll use it for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. So we want to make that a crime as well.
Wow. I didn't realize. I mean, I was thinking right now, so what can people who do these crimes be prosecuted for right now in our current state?
Yeah, it's obviously I don't know what the legal term is, right? But when you steal money, obviously that there's something wrong there. But you see, when these scams work, it's actually someone actually sending out money to someone else, right? Thinking that they're sending it to a third person. And so it's deception, right? So there are many ways. So I think the bill in Congress today, what they call the AFASA bill, will close all that. And so we're very supportive of the AFASA bill.
I remember I was in another talk for cybersecurity with the DICT. And the representative from BPEC kept reminding me that one of the best things, of course, like you were saying earlier on, is awareness. It's really awareness for people. And phishing in particular, phishing. There's a lot of phishing scams. And I know you talked about it earlier on, but TG, just for the sake of people listening to the show right now, how do they, I guess, protect themselves against most of these phishing scams? I'm sure you've seen them all and you can help us better understand, okay, watch out for these things.
Yeah. You know, phishing is actually very, you need to be a little alert to spot phishing, because the phishers, if you call them that, are very sophisticated. So before you click on a link, you make sure that you read the link properly, right? Banks now, the BSP has mandated banks that we cannot send out links, right? So when you get an email purportedly from a bank that has a link, you know that's not legit. Because the BSP has said banks should not send out links anymore. But see, these are a little too sophisticated. And so phishing, the first line of defense at phishing, for example, at BPI, is we have a service that's constantly looking out in the global web for sites that are phishing sites of BPI. So we have constant surveillance. And as soon as we find one, we have it taken down. Right? But on the consumer side, it's just vigilance and education. You need to read what you're clicking on and make sure that it's a number one and not a letter L, or it's a letter L and not a number one, right? The spelling is correct. But how many of us really go through that?
Yes,
right? So just be very careful. And when you're doing financial transactions, maybe the best is never click on a link for a financial transaction. Always type it in yourself.
Got that. I also know that BPI right now, aware of all these, cognizant of all these things happening with regard to cybersecurity, you're actually leading the charge with what you're calling trust tech, right? What exactly is trust tech all about, TG?
Well, trust tech is, I guess, a multi-sectoral coming together, which we're leading with other groups, that brings together the private sector, the public sector, that builds awareness, that builds education, that builds cooperation. It's based on the fact that for financial transactions or any digital transactions, right? If trust is lost because people feel that they're going to be scammed or being stolen, then digitalization will never take place in this country, right? So we need to come together, and it cannot just be one institution leading it. It just cannot be the private sector. It just cannot be the public sector. Everyone's got to come together. So we're working together with other groups and trying to put this and bring this to the forefront in terms of awareness, in terms of importance. And it's quite important. And so we'll put some effort into it and some funding to make sure that we all benefit from it. Because trust is, in banking, trust is the one most important thing.
Got that, TG. Thanks so much. And then as we continue to wrap up this conversation, I want to wear right now my entrepreneurial hat. And, you know, I'm always on the lookout for opportunities similar to other entrepreneurs listening to the show. From your perspective, you're getting to see what's happening in the country and what are still the areas that you think that there's a gap in where entrepreneurs can still play and grow and also at the same time help the country grow, Because obviously there are a lot of businesses that we can do, right? But there are some that if we mm-hmm. choose to do it, have the best impact to spur the economy, to really help underserved parts of the country and make money at the same time, economically viable businesses.
Well, there's still many. I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that, one, we have a very fast-growing population, right? And therefore, there will always be the need for consumer items. Two, I think the demographics are right, plus economics are right, where we have a growing middle class. But what I would like to say, where I think there's a lot of potential in two fields, I think I would love to see us grow in the manufacturing sector. The Philippines is very weak in manufacturing. We're very service-oriented. And I think there is potential for entrepreneurs to get into manufacturing. Now, the big companies, they always have need for suppliers, and they do want to outsource some of that manufacturing process. And so you should be able to see craftsmen, small businesses that manufacture basic parts. I think those can thrive going forward. Which is not to say that services will disappear. Services, I think, are important because we have a big population. We're English speaking. We have huge potential for tourism, I think. This country is blessed, and we just have to get tourism right. And tourism is a very big game changer. And if you are fortunate to live around an area that could be a potential tourist destination, entrepreneurs catering to tourists can be extremely successful. That's what I would say. There is, I think, also where we see a lot of interest in logistics providers because the country is growing and wealth. I think wealth is being distributed more evenly around the country. And therefore, more and more manufacturers, the large consumer product producers are beginning to find the need to distribute more and more away from the urban areas. So if you can do logistics in a small area and be the dominant logistics there, meaning the last leg, that could be very, very powerful. Those are some of the issues at the top of my head. Filipinos love education, so education is always paramount. I think people do understand how education can transform next generations of families, and therefore that's key as well.
Wow, a lot of food for thought for many entrepreneurs listening to the program here right now. So having said that, as we start to conclude this discussion, PG, I know you've had a storied career, not just in BPI, but across the different Ayala groups. And you've gained a lot of experience working with great mentors throughout your years in the group. If you're going to speak to the TG of, let's say, 20, 30 years ago when you were starting off at Ayala, and you wanted him to sort of like, you know, how can we hack the process? How can we, you know, succeed faster or better? What management tips would you like to give your younger self that you can share here right now with us?
Well, I think as entrepreneurs, as an entrepreneur, I think you should be always willing to try different things, right? Never be afraid to fail, because by its very definition, entrepreneurship means risk-taking. You need to find the right thing. And, you know, for every one entrepreneur that succeeds, there's three, right? But again, because of the way businesses operate, the three who fail and lose little money fail in comparison to the one success story. So don't be afraid to fail. Just go for it. If you're a true serial entrepreneur, you should be juggling many balls at the same time. You should have many ideas, trying them at the same time. Number two is, and again, this is self-serving, right? But you need to work with a bank, because a bank will give you the advice. A bank will provide you the capital if you work with them, if they get to know you. You know, RJ, one of the pleasures I've had of working so long at PPI is to talk to people who came before me, who tell me about their clients who started very small and were just given a break by a bank. Right? And because they worked with the bank, because the bank, they knew them. And we have clients who are just 100% loyal to BPI, because 50 years ago, 60 years ago, someone from BPI gave them the break, and they never forget that. And so for me, it's important, you know, stick with a bank that you know, that you trust, and work with them, because a bank wants people to succeed. It doesn't have to be BPI, but that's the role of a bank. The role of a bank is to channel excess savings from one part of society to the part of society that wants to take risk to build businesses. That's a bank building dreams.
Spoken like a, not just a banker by definition, but a banker by heart. Again, thanks so much, TG, for all the advice that you gave us. And again, more power to your work and to the further financial inclusive goals of BPI as you approach 173, 74, 75 years. Again, TG, thanks so much. Any final words to share with the people listening to the podcast?
No, and thanks, RJ, for this opportunity. It's a great conversation. I've known you for so long. We've worked in many projects together. You understand what we're trying to build at BPI and at the Ayala Group. But for me, it's important that my team understands what we're trying to do. We truly believe that through responsible banking, through digitalization, we really want to build a better Philippines. And in my words, because we just want to make people's dreams come true. Yan lang. Simple lang.
Thanks so much. Let's build a better Philippines together. Thanks so much, TG Limcauco. And thanks for listening to the RJ Ledesma podcast. We will see you again in our next podcast. Thanks so much, guys.
The opinions of podcast creators, hosts, and guests are not necessarily reflective of the official stance of the Pod Network Entertainment, its hosts, or other network programs. The content created by the people behind the podcast is personal and not meant to harm any religion, ethnicity, group, organization, company, or individual.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.